Welcome to the Anton Podcast, where Ant is on anything and everything. Episode 17, Comic Books with Tyler, Part 1. Hello, this week, once again, I sat down with my friend Tyler, slash TJ, slash Tyler, and we talked about comic books in general. There's really no reviews, in-depth reviews like the old comic book episodes that I did so far on this podcast, but more so just the love of comic books, including the origin of how both of us got into loving comic books. And once again, we talked way too long, so I cut it in half, and this will be part one of two. Enjoy. Welcome to the Anton Podcast, episode 17. This episode is Ant on Comics. It's been a while since I've done a comic book-centric episode. Had a couple episodes in there of some random fun news, and then I had some Frozen talk, random geekery, and all that kind of stuff. And during that absence, I was trying to think of a way to restructure the comic book talk, other than just having me talking about all the books that I read and having it be boring for the listener who doesn't read all of those books that I collect. So I have a new format, but first I want to do my normal intro, which gives the plugs. This is the Anton Podcast, Anton on iTunes, antonpodcast.podomatic.com. You can find me on Twitter at Anthony Latch. That's LAATSCH. You can follow me on there, and also have another podcast called The AB Conversation, abconversation.net, AB Conversation on iTunes, at ABConvo27 on Twitter. All of those resources will find me, and those are all up there. A weekly podcast with The AB Conversation where I do a comic book segment with my buddy Brent, but now with the Anton spinoff podcast, I want to dive into comic books for the dedicated hour or so. And I have realized that I never gave a comic book origin for myself. When you read comic books, you'll always have that origin story of, you know, the Peter Parker getting bit by the spider, and that's going to be this version of Ant, the Ant on origin of comic books. And this is the condensed version, but it all basically started with the Batman TV show from 1966. All the toys with that is basically my introduction to the superheroes, which that led into knowing who, like, all the other DC characters, your Wonder Woman and your Superman and your Green Lantern and your Aquaman. All of that stuff came from the action figure line, thanks to the 1966 Adam West Batman TV show. And comic books, before I even got into superhero comic books, I actually collected a lot of Richie Rich, Beetle Bailey, Looney Tunes, all that kind of stuff. I think there was some Dennis the Menace and some Elf in there as well. Pretty much if it was any sort of cartoon, I basically collected it in comic book form as well. And then 1989 came around when the Tim Burton Batman movie was released, and that's when I started seeing the grown-up Batman that was way different than the 1966 Batman. So I started getting those toys, and that stuff was replacing the old, you know, the blue trunks with the black tights and all that kind of stuff. And from there, it jumped into the Detective Comics. So now I'm starting to read some Batman in the comic books, seeing some more realistic, darker stories through Detective Comics from DC Comics, and also the movie toy line from there on, which bled into Batman Returns, and the obsession just kept growing. And then in 1993, I met a friend in school who had moved to the town, Brian, who pretty much introduced me to the X-Men. We knew that we both liked superheroes because we had the same Batman lunchbox. And once we connected on that level and realizing Ninja Turtles and, you know, other than Batman, Ninja Turtles and all that kind of stuff, Star Wars. And then he was introducing me to the X-Men. This X-Men cartoon, these X-Men action figures, these X-Men comics, these characters that I've never given any attention to because I was always a Batman fanatic. And with him having all of that stuff there and having all the episodes on tape, I was able to catch up and then start watching it on my own. And then start, you know, playing with the toys and making our own comic book adventures. And that's when that pretty much was the gateway into the Marvel Universe, finding out who Spider-Man was and the Fantastic Four and the Avengers, Thor and Iron Man. All of that fun stuff came from meeting someone who was into the X-Men cartoon and action figure line. And once that happened, once I started getting into the cartoons and all that stuff, some of the reading started to diminish a little bit. I kind of concentrated more on the cartoons and the movies. And getting close to the mid-90s, mid to late 90s, is basically when Buffy the Vampire Slayer started. So a whole nother obsession took away my time, and I didn't really care to read anymore. You know, I still caught up with the movies. The Batman live-action movies were starting to slowly wind down as we were blending into the X-Men movie and the Spider-Man movie. So I was very much, also the Batman animated series, I gotta mention that. So I was basically, entertainment-wise, following all of that, but I wasn't necessarily sticking with comic books. And then, with my obsession of Joss Whedon and Buffy the Vampire Slayer, came 2004 when Joss Whedon was announced to show up at Wizard World Chicago. And Wizard World, the first thing I thought of was, why is Joss Whedon, the creator of Buffy, showing up at some Harry Potter convention? And little did I know that it was for the Wizard magazine, which I knew of the Wizard comics magazine, but didn't know about the convention circuit until I saw that Joss Whedon was going to be about 2.5 hours away from me. So I went there. Not only was he advertising Serenity, which he was in the middle of filming at that time, but also a couple issues in was the Astonishing X-Men. Joss Whedon has run into comic books with the X-Men. So here I'm like, I know who the X-Men are. I know who Joss Whedon is. He's writing these guys. Yes, I'm going to definitely check that out. So at the convention, I was able to pick up the first couple issues. I think it was like 3 or 4 at the time that were released. And I was absolutely loving it. And at the convention, next thing I knew, being surrounded by all the comic books, my childhood was slowly coming back, and I'm starting to collect comic books once again. That was in 2004. Now we are 10 years later, and my comic book obsession is bigger than ever, with much thanks to last year being probably the biggest year for me reading, which I think will easily be conquered by 2014, because this brings me to yesterday, the day before this recording. I set my personal record, set my personal record of reading 34 comic books in a row. I just happened to realize, oh crap, I just read 34 comic books. And I think my previous record was with a Luna Brothers comic that I'll talk about later, which was, I think, 17 issues, 17 or 18, but so yeah, definitely my reading over the past 10 years, thanks to Joss Whedon and the Astonishing X-Men, bringing me back into the comic book fold, and now comic books are trumping movies and television. That stuff is just are secondary to reading these stories and just picking up everything I can. I have a lot to catch up on, things that I knew existed and knew that happened, but not necessarily have read firsthand myself. So that brings us literally to right now, and brings us to my guest here for the new format of the Anton Comics Podcast. Instead of just me talking about comic books like I did for the past 8 minutes, I brought back fan favorite at TJ Rants. We have Tyler here. Hello, Tyler.
Hey, Anthony, how's it going?
It is going great. The listeners may have heard Tyler rustling in the background, and as I'm assuming he was just so overjoyed with my origin story cut down to 7 minutes. And that leads me right away just to get into the meat of things. That's how I got into comic books. How did you, sir, get into comic books?
Well, I'm pretty new to comic books. I mean, I read comic books a little bit when I was younger. Nothing to the degree of actually looking for them.
Yep.
I would get them as gifts. I'm trying to think back to, of course, Calvin and Hobbes, definitely not necessarily a comic book,
yeah,
but more just that
the comic
that
strip, if you will.
Yeah, a comic strip, yeah, and Far Side and all that. I mean, I would spend my own money in like fourth and third grade and save up money and buy Calvin and Hobbes books because they were like, I loved the format. I loved that you could get stuff quickly and laugh, and they were funny. They were freaking hilarious.
And I know, I know that stuff was always in our book fairs at school and stuff like that, so exactly. It was easily accessible.
Yeah, every time there was a book fair, it was just like, okay, and it was always like freaking $17 or something like that for some collection. I still have the first Calvin and Hobbes book I bought when I was like in fourth grade. The covers off of it, it's all tore up to crap, but I was just like, well, here you go, kids. I'm counting on them to buy me the complete set.
That'd for be awesome.
Father's Day someday, but that's like $80 or something, but you know,
in due time.
Till then, they can ruin them. But yeah, I read Archie's growing up, like just would get them as gifts. I remember just reading them over and over and over and over and over because they were fun. They were funny. You could analyze them. You could analyze all the pictures and see all sorts of cool stuff in there. Read those. I remember getting a pretty obscure comic book series, and now that I'm thinking about it, I cannot remember what it was called. It was all about angels. It was really weird, but I remember being frustrated by it because. And I think the thing that turned me off from comic books when I was younger was not being able to hear the whole story all at one time.
Mm-hmm.
And that being something that I was like, and never really knowing where to start. Like, you'd be like, oh, you'd go somewhere. I remember getting books and being like, okay, I've spent my money on these 5 books. And I feel like the story has only gotten bigger, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to have to buy so many more of these. Plus, I'm going to have to wait. Plus, I'm going to have to know when they come out. There was no internet. And I didn't have a comic shop, and I probably wasn't allowed in them when I was like in fourth grade. But it was just kind of hard. And so I was like, whatever. And I, you know, started getting into all the TV shows. Of course, I was into Turtles. Of course, I was into animated series Batman. Of course, I was into The Amazing Spider-Man, X-Men, all those TV shows.
Mm-hmm.
Loved them so much, and it was a great way to be able to get a full story, and then you would see reoccurring characters, and you could really, I remember The Amazing Spider-Man was the coolest thing ever, because they would bring back characters, and there was always the Kingpin who was behind everything, and like, there was so much to sink your teeth in, and even, you know, with the Turtles, there was always, you know, reoccurring villains that would come back from Dimension X or whatever, you know, like the Neutrinos or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Keep showing up, you know, and it was like, oh, the Neutrinos! I remember them because, you know, they keep popping up, and that was a really cool kind of sequential, I don't know, feeling. That was really fun. But I remember one time I was going to Walden Books, I think, in the mall. I don't think there are any Walden Books anymore.
Yeah, I was going to say the good old days.
The good old days. Or Borders Express, which probably isn't even around anymore either.
Mm.
But there was a comic book, and I wanted to look it up before we talked, but it was like Marvel, I think it was X-Men, and I remember just being like, I want to see what this is about. Like, I always had that thing, like, oh, I'm going to read a comic book, and then I would get frustrated, and so I opened it up and started reading it, and I remember there was a homeless guy or like some kind of bum or something in an alley, and there was a box, and the box was taped up, like, and there was tape like all over the box, but the box was glowing, and mm-hmm. something like exploded out of the box. I don't know, I was just thinking maybe that would like spark some sort of memory of something you know about, but
yeah.
It was really, really weird, and I remember just going, I have no idea what's going on. In that moment I was kind of like, no, I can't do this. Like, there's no context. This is probably issue number 433. Yeah. I'm like, I have no idea what's going on. I'm like, why would I even want to start this? This is so frustrating. And then you kind of got out of it, started getting into music a lot more, and was kind of didn't read a book for a really long time. And then now that I've gotten a little bit older, I've started coming back into it with the Joss Whedon stuff, and you know, finding out that there's, you know, started reading the Harry Potter books and started reading a bunch of other Game of Thrones book series, or Song of Ice and Fire, and started getting more into books.
Mm-hmm.
And that's led me into getting more into comic books and finding out, talking to you and talking to other people online and saying, okay, I don't want to spend, you know, $25 on 7 issues of a comic and not be into it. And know if it's going to get better. You know, well, okay, are they just setting up for something that's actually really good, or am I, you know, and then it's like, oh no, you can get the trades of them, and just, because all I want is the book, you know, and with the advent of the internet and not having to go, like, chunk down on a book. $50, you can go online and get a damaged one, you know, mm-hmm. relatively damaged one, like a used one. Used is the same thing as damaged in the comic world, almost.
It'll fit nicely with your Calvin and Hobbes coverless book.
Exactly,
that's for sure.
Like my mangled Calvin and Hobbes.
You've got a theme going, and you want to keep that theme. And
The other books will feel bad if I bring in like a nice shiny one that's in plastic.
Oh yeah, yeah.
They don't like that. They'll probably beat them up. So I started doing that, talked to you, and started looking at books, and got into The Sword and all sorts of other books, and now I'm and then watched all of Buffy, and so now I've got the two library volumes of season 8 that come after that. Mm-hmm. So that's where I am now. But so I'm relatively new to it all, but I really enjoy it, and they have such a great rereadability. That's fun.
And kind of how you were saying how you would be so confused because you'd pick up something in the middle of a run back then and you didn't have access to get the entire story. I must have been extremely easy to please because I remember, like, I still have my old collection in which I had taken out, and there's nothing that actually goes in consecutive order. It's all just random, you know, an issue 5 here, but then an issue 26 over here, and just nothing made sense. But the fact that I think I just liked having them no matter what, and I never, even though I didn't have the means to like seek out the entire run or anything like that, but I seemed to be very content with just getting bits and pieces here and there. But that's probably what led me to give it up so easily and then just be like, well, now I have the TV show that I just sit down every Saturday morning, I can record it on VHS, and it's coming to me rather than me having to, you know, go to the supermarket with my mom and hope to get one off the spinner rack and all that kind of stuff.
That would have drove me nuts, having like a 5 and a 12 and a 13 and a 14 and then a 17. Oh, that would make me nuts. And now that you mention it, and now that I'm thinking about it a little bit more, I remember a big thing in my comic book origin story was Disney Adventure Magazine. Do you remember Disney Adventure Magazine?
Oh, yes. Oh, my God. It just exploded. Holy crap.
Exactly, right? I had a box. I'm not kidding you. It was huge. Like, you know those boxes that you get, like, fun size, well, not fun size, but, like, small, like, grab bags of chips, like Fritos.
Oh, sure, ones. Yeah.
I had two of those full of Disney Adventure magazines. Oh. And Disney Adventure magazines were, like, the size of a Reader's Digest.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And they were way thinner. I had just stacks of them. The first one I had was probably one of the first ones they came out with, and it had Rick Moranis on it. And this was right after Honey, I Blew Up the Kid. Like, that's why Rick Moranis was on the cover. He was insane.
That's so crazy you say that, because in the mail today, I got some Guardians of the Galaxy original print comics from eBay, and it was upside down, and from what I saw, was none other than Rick Moranis, and Honey, I Blew Up the Kid.
What? Nice. Yeah, see, this was like 90... Golly, this was like 92, 93. I kind of wish I still had them all, but I had so many.
Yeah.
And I had them, like, under my bed, and when I moved out when I was 18, I was like, should I take these? And I'm like, no, because I was moving in, like, yeah, I didn't have room, and I ended up getting rid of them. But I remember a sweet one that had Gambit on the cover. I mean, to bring it back to comics, every single one of those had a comic in it.
Yeah.
There were Bone comics in there. There were Darkwing Duck comics.
Aladdin.
What was that?
Aladdin would be in there, you know, have a little...
Yeah, well, there were like a little Aladdin shorts in there, and I remember when Lion King came out, they had like the first quarter of the movie in the magazine as a comic. So I had read that so many times. Like, I'm watching Lion King for the first time, and I know, like, a quarter of the dialogue. Like, I didn't know the songs, of course, but I knew, like, a ton. I think it's, like, right up until the Stampede or something. Like, that was, like, all in the book. It was crazy. And I totally forgot about that until right now. But, yeah, I mean, all those had comics. Like I said, Bone, what was that, Gargoyles.
And
underrated show.
Gargoyles always, I think it came on after Batman, I think, maybe. Like, it was paired up with Batman, the animated series, so...
Gosh, that was like the power hour.
Yeah.
Those two shows were just like, you were just like, shh,
Yeah, it was.
Some Batman are on. Everybody shut up in the house.
It was 4 o'clock for me, so I remember like getting home from school at 3 o'clock and just rushing to. I had a little black and white TV on in my room that I was able to, you know, had the rabbit ears and everything like that. So get my after school snack and get ready for, like you said, the power hour of your Batman and your gargoyles. So
that's so good.
And talking about once again. Having issues, getting them at like the supermarket. Like here, there was a sports card shop which also had comic books. I think that was like my closest thing, and it was like on the way home from school. But it was mostly a sports collectible place. But they would also have a couple comic books, and I'd assume that's probably where I got, you know, just some of the random ones whenever I had some money for it, allowance, and all that kind of stuff. And for some reason, I was always just content with having, you know, not getting any more. That brings me to now with the access to the internet and bringing it back to the Guardians of the Galaxy, how I have my mission for 2014 is to own every single issue that came out starting in 1969. And
of Guardians of the Galaxy?
Yep. And so I was going to start looking at some old collections. Well, thankfully, because of the upcoming movie on August 1st, they're starting to recollect them now. And so now they have big trade paperbacks. For instance, when somebody gets into comic books, it's always hard to, unless you can throw them over to these collections, when you look at the store shelf and look at individual issues, it's definitely hard to jump on somewhere. And when looking at where the Guardians started. They started with an appearance in 1967 in something called Marvel Superheroes number 18, and then they were in Marvel 2 and 1 in 1974, issues 4 and 5. Then they happened to appear in Giant Size Defenders number 5, and so finding all of those individual issues was probably going to get expensive, and then thankfully, thanks to trade paperbacks, now I can get all these collected and read them in the correct order. And whereas now that I want to read them all in the order and I can read them all in the order, it would drive me nuts to just have that issue 5 or that issue 27, you know. So, so big thanks to the internet for allowing us to get our actual complete stories now. So, yeah, Guardians of the Galaxy, going back to my original collection, going through my books, it was a lot of DC stuff, a lot of Detective Comics that I mentioned, but then I came across one issue of Guardians of the Galaxy that I have previously owned that I wasn't even really that familiar with because you never saw them in the X-Men cartoon or anything like that. And so a couple years ago when they mentioned, oh, we're going to do a Guardians of the Galaxy movie, that's when you go to Google and be like, all right, what's Guardians of the Galaxy? What's going on here? Oh, this has existed since 1967, 69. And now, thanks to this movie, I would say the majority of Hollywood moviegoer, summer movie people are going to go because they know it's a Marvel movie and they'd be like, okay, what is this? And, oh, Bradley Cooper does the voice in this and Chris Pratt and Zoe Saldana but they're mostly going to go in blind not knowing who these characters are. And thanks to the internet, now that we know ahead of time, gives the people the opportunity to go back and familiarize themselves. And then the way Marvel's doing so many great things that once that movie was announced, it wasn't that far after that Brian Michael Bendis, one of the top writers at Marvel, was going to start relaunch the Guardians of the Galaxy after being gone for, I don't know, maybe like 8 years or something like that. And so now it's going to have a fresh take, a jump on point, and we're still early on that anyone who wants to be more familiar with it can just jump on and get, you know, we're on issue 11 right now, I think. And did you ever end up getting some Guardians? You had sent me a link on what to get, but did you ever take the plunge?
It's in my wish list. Yeah, it's another one of those that's in my and a buddy of mine was like, oh, do you follow the Marvel movies? And I'm like, well, I don't know. What do you mean? And he He's like, oh yeah, these people are going to be, this is Rocket Raccoon and Groot and all that. And I was just like, well, I know that. Yeah. I'm like, what do you mean by follow? But he's just like, so I'm like, yeah, I know that. But I'm like, yeah, I need to get on that. I'd like to buy some before the movie comes out, before it starts getting spread around. Just yeah. to familiarize myself with the characters. And like you said, I think that one I have on my wish list was a good one. Was that hardback one you have?
Yeah, it's got like the first like four or five issues or so, and thanks to these movies, I think that's definitely obviously what's bringing, you know, comics back into the, you know, now it's every podcast is saying this, but you know, it's cool to be a geek and all that kind of stuff, and thanks to these movies, you know, like Iron Man was the perfect example. When that Iron Man movie came out, I knew who Iron Man was, but have I ever read an Iron Man comic book prior to that? I doubt it. I don't have any Iron Man in my collection, with the exception of a couple like Avengers issues. But when that movie was a big risk, because the general public doesn't know who Iron Man was, unlike Batman and Spider-Man, who have had movies and TV shows, you know, over the past couple decades. But even though Iron Man was right there in the beginning, I think it was 1962 or 3, I think, for Iron Man, but for them to do a movie on it, putting Robert Downey Jr., put people in the seats, and people, you know, obviously, action-packed trailer and stuff like that. So people are going to see it for an action-packed movie, and then hanging around for that end credit sequence with Nick Fury coming out and mentioning the Avengers, and that's when the comic book world blew up, thinking, holy crap, how are they going to, and then finding out that, oh, the Hulk movie's going to tie in Captain America and Thor, and that's going to lead into the Avengers, and thanks to these movies being current and comics being as great as they are now, it's definitely Marvel's the one that's fueled my reobsession with reading, because those 34 issues that I read yesterday was all Ultimate Spider-Man. So I'm in debt to Marvel. I'm in debt to them because I thank them, but I'm also in debt to them because I give them all my money. And I do a lot of they don't pay me for advertising as much as I do, but I always found their stories more fun. So that's what I wanted to bleed into next, is, I guess, comparing the big two. You have your Marvel and your DC, and having read DC from the beginning, it was always that darker tone, with exception of the Adam West TV show that was all fun and games and stuff. But the comic books always just felt real dark and realistic with, as far as, you know, I guess when you follow Batman, you know, he doesn't have any superpowers.
Right.
And so there's certain things you can relate to, where, unless you read Superman, where you're like, all right, this guy's flying around because he's a, you know, he's an alien from another planet. But then coming over to Marvel, and everyone says this too, but the Marvel Universe exists in a realistic world. They exist in New York City, whereas Batman exists in Gotham City, and then you got Metropolis for Superman. So those characters are more relatable because they make references to, you know, whoever the current president is, and celebrities, and, you know, the towns and all that kind of stuff. So that's how
buildings and streets and Statue of Liberty, and yeah.
And like when something happens, for instance, like when 9/11 happened, that stuff bled into the comic books, where they had the characters also deal with that on the realistic level, and it just kind of, you know, whether they're kids reading at a time, you know, they can kind of relate to these heroes of them, realizing that, you know, yeah, this stuff is real, these characters are trying to exist in a real world. And whenever I want to have fun when reading a story, it always seems I just go to Marvel. I'll read a DC book here and there, but then I always just feel, I don't want to say like depressed, but it just like has that kind of impact on me, where I'm like, ooh, I'm going to close this up and I'm going to open up a Spider-Man book and hear him crack some jokes. So that's how I became a Marvel fanboy. So when it comes to you and your appreciation for stories, because I know you like some Green Lantern. That's why I bring this up.
I think I like Marvel more, and I didn't quite realize until years later what the divide was. Because, like I said, I got out. I mean, I never really got into comics, but, you know, getting till I got older and realized, okay, so I was having a conversation with someone or reading something and being like, what do you mean Marvel and DC? I don't understand what those words are. You know, like someone explaining, okay, and, or seeing posters and being like, these are DC characters. And I'm like, well, where the heck is Spider-Man? It's like, no, that's Marvel. It's like, oh, okay. I don't like any of these people. Like, I'm just kind of like, why? You know, and I found myself being drawn to X-Men, to Spider-Man, to, you know, the, you know, Thor and the Avengers and all those characters, like just finding those Wolverine, like finding all those characters so much more attractive than any of the, like Superman. Superman is just annoying to me. Like I'm, you know, that's my personal kind of like, what? Like you can hear things on the other side of the world and then you can fly there in 2 seconds. Like I just, there's no relatability there.
You're going to say what I'm about to say. So go ahead.
When Peter Parker's falling off a building and he runs out of like webbing, like that was the longest commercial break ever. Like, I'm just like, what are you going to do? You know, but it's like Superman doesn't appear to ever be able to fall anywhere or have anything out of his control. Unless there's like, what do you call it? Kryptonite everywhere.
Yeah.
And
he's
pretty much just kind of like impervious. Like, I'm watching Justice League and I'm like, all you guys are redundant, okay? We only need him to be here. You know, maybe the Flash because he's faster than you, but, you know, like everybody else, like, there's no need for you all to be here, you know? So, you know, I found myself drawn more to that. I just like it more. I just, like you said, it feels more like it's set more in reality, and I feel like they might be kicking themselves a little bit because they can't do things like the 9/11 thing. I mean, those 9/11 comics, I remember reading those when it came out, going into Walden Books and reading them and being like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. And seeing that shot of Spider-Man on top of a building, looking down at the Twin Towers falling down and being like, this is fantastic. I just like it more. If I was going to choose between the two, like, I just find myself identifying and enjoying the way those stories are written more, with the exception of Batman, because Batman is just so cool. But he doesn't have any powers. Like, he's so smart and resourceful, and he's, the only thing he does is, like, fly when he probably shouldn't, but I can just attribute that to his cape, and that's fine, I'm over it.
Yeah.
And then he can, like, disappear like a freaking ninja, but he's a ninja, whatever, I don't care, like, that's just fun. He just disappears, and that's cool, but, you know, other than that, but you were saying about Green Lantern. What I do like about the Green Lantern is what I had said earlier, I think, about how, And honestly, I'd only been introduced to the Green Lantern like 2 years ago or a year ago, like when the movie came out. That's when I was like, I don't know anything about this guy. I'm going to watch this.
Yeah.
And seeing that creativity and his ability to hold on to his will and what he wants is what keeps his constructs or whatever you call them going. You know, like his ring, what makes whatever comes out of his ring work.
All right.
I found that to be fascinating, is that the ring is only as strong as the bearer. The ring is only as strong as whoever owns it and can wield it with their imagination and their will and their thoughts and their emotions. And I was just like, that's pretty sweet, because then it doesn't make it a weapon. It makes the person a weapon. You know what I mean? So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just like, it's in a way, it's like Superman, but I feel like they really shot their foot off with Superman, because they're like, oh yeah, like his whole planet is demolished and like that's it, there's no more. Oh, but wait, there's more. And like then it's like Superman world and all this stuff, and you're like, okay, did Krypton really blow up?
Yeah.
Or was that just a miscommunication, because nobody knows what's going on. It's Superdog and all this crazy stuff, but I don't know. I don't mean to poop on DC, but that's just my That's what I find to be the most enjoyable, is those relatable Marvel stories.
Yeah, and I always feel that way, too, where about, like, pooping on DC, where, yeah, I own, you know, almost all the DC movies, and I see them in theater and everything, but when you look at my box office tickets, I mean, Avengers aside, that I paid to see 22 times, but comparing something like Thor 2 to Man of Steel, they both came out last year. Saw Man of Steel, I enjoyed it. I will buy it somewhere down the line, but I only saw it one time in theater. Yet when Thor 2 came out, it was so damn fun that
oh my gosh, it was so good.
And yeah, I ended up, I think it was like five times I think I ended up going to see it, and then I'm trying to think like, okay, why didn't I see a compared, you know, Thor? It's perfect because Thor and Superman are pretty comparable as far as, you know, where they come from and just, you know, obviously flying and the strength. And yeah, you know, I always kind of related them together, and thinking like, well, why didn't I go see Man of Steel more times? Well, there's so much destruction and just death, and you know, everyone says that too about just this Metropolis being destroyed and yeah. Superman not even caring about it, whereas, you know, the Superman that we grew up with, or you know, or your father's Superman, you know, wouldn't be like the Man of Steel. But when watching Thor, you still get that same kind of destruction, but there's so much humor layered in, and you really do feel in that real world because something crazy will happen. Here's the perfect example. Thor will be jumping through, you know, the portals going from worlds to dimensions and all that stuff, and then next thing you know, he is there, needs to ride the subway to get to where he needs to go next. So there he is with a bunch of people, jumps onto the subway train, you know, holds on to the...
Oh my gosh, I'd forgotten about that.
And then people take up their cell phone and they're snapping pictures, and the girl like falls into him and her hand's on his chest. Like, to take all of that action and all of this science fiction and then bring it to something that we can relate to, that we see people, that's exactly how we would react. We'd be like, holy crap, like there's a guy that's in the, I think when they're in London, and they're all going to the window, they're like, holy crap, that's Thor out there, like, oh, Thor, and like, they're all just
yes,
like,
yeah, in the library, or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, even though there's, and that's when Jane Foster is like, are you guys crazy, get out of here, like, what do you, but what would we do if we saw Thor? We would run to that window, take out our phone, and put it on YouTube and Instagram, and be like, holy crap, there's a superhero, and I don't feel that when, like, watching the DC movies that, you know, I guess people just feel scared of those heroes in a way of, like, oh, there's, you know, the Superman guy, or there's Batman, and I want to mess with him, you know, and Thor, you want to go up and take a selfie with him, basically.
Right, yeah, it could just be the way they're done, or the, I don't know what it is, but you want a little bit more, you want to have a little bit more fun, you want a little bit more levity, but they won't give it to you, and they just take themselves too seriously, and maybe it's just the movies, or, but I'm just kind of like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I like things when they're fun, and when there's humor in that, and I find it in the books too a little bit, and it's just, it's fun. It's great.
And bringing that into Astonishing X-Men, how you, so here I am picking it up just because it has Joss Whedon's name on it. I know who the X-Men are, but I've never read them with a familiar comedic pacing that Joss Whedon has, where I'm reading this comic and I'm like, of course this is Joss, you know, it's, even though it's Kitty Pryde talking, I'm like, I can hear Joss speaking for her and getting his comedy into these characters that never really talked like him, and that just easily got me in, and it's a sure thing that every time Joss Whedon's name is going to be on something, whether it's a TV movie or a comic book, I know it's that sure thing that it's going to be great. And I keep thinking, like, with him doing the Avengers movies now, as much as I want him to keep doing that, but I'm also waiting for the point where just like, oh, let's give him some free time and just give him a run on Spider-Man in the comics or something. Like,
yeah.
Those are things that I've been waiting to experience, and to bring back once again to the actual books. When people are asking Joss Whedon leading into the Avengers movie, like, oh, what kind of research were you doing? You know, it's a big, you know, 50 years in the making to pull off this blockbuster movie with all these actors. Like, how do you approach that? How much research have you done? And he goes, I've been researching this since I was nine.
Yeah,
by reading,
sure.
By growing up and reading the comic books. And that's why these movies are so fun, because they link us back to the childhood being like, oh yeah, whether it was the cartoon or picking them up on that supermarket spinner rack, you know, and That's where I just love it, that these characters that have existed for, like, Spider-Man's 50 years old, that the fact that a new Spider-Man comes out this coming Wednesday, and it's still entertaining. There's still a new story to be told, even though there's been 50 years. And it's even more for, you know, Superman is 75 this year. So the fact that these characters can live on, whereas when you go into a TV show, would you want to see Friends season 75?
Right.
Like, I love Friends, and I own all 10 seasons, and when that 10th season ended, I'm like, that's perfect, that's the right amount, but would you want to see 75 total years, but Spider-Man and Superman and all that stuff, it just never gets old.
Yeah, for sure, yeah. It's interesting how they can... They slowly refresh characters, and I've heard of that. Like, I've heard of certain characters where they feel like they're dying out or whatever, and they're like, golly, we don't have a use for this character, and then bring a new writer on, and they put a spin on a character, and then everybody falls in love with them again, and they're like, oh, man, we never thought we'd ever be able to write whoever again, mm-hmm. You know? It's pretty interesting how that works.
And that's what the Ultimate Spider-Man that I was mentioning... knowing that Brian Michael Bendis is a great writer and Brent collected the Ultimate Spider-Mans, we had both were at that convention together and basically, you know, we got into comics, got back into comics. I don't think he had a big comic background, but we both got back into it at the same time. And with Brian Michael Bendis, here's Ultimate Spider-Man that... He can start over. It's not like you have to go back to the 1960s and be like, well, I got to pick up issue one first and then start reading it. With the Ultimate Universe, they can be like, all right, we don't want those people to be hunting down, you know, hundreds of issues. Let's start them right here. And I've been reading them all in trade paperback form. I just bought them all without even... I just took a risk not knowing how it was going to be, just trusting that writer, who I know is a talented writer, being like, he's in control of this, so whatever he's going to do, there's nothing I can do to change it. I can only stop it just by not reading it, but being like, well, he's in charge, he's the one that's controlling this guy, I'm going to take his word for it, and... If something bad happens, that maybe I don't like something. The way I appreciate or approach stories is that, even though it didn't happen the way I maybe would have done it, I just accepted it because that's how they had planned it, and now I have to go along with it as well. And eventually, something's going to come up that's going to be amazing and make up for. Whatever, you know, plot point that maybe I don't like or something. So,
okay, sorry, keep on.
I was just going to say I'm very easygoing, and that goes with all TV, movies, and comics, that I just have, it seems like I just love everything in a way, but I just have so much trust in the people that are hired to give us this entertainment.
I think that comics do a great thing in keeping characters forever and ever and ever. I think that's what makes them more pliable. Like, if you come out with a Spider-Man movie that sucks, like 3 or something, it's almost more... it's more understandable. Or it's more like you can handle it a little bit more. Because you've got 50 years of books and TV shows and cartoons that you want to watch. If they, you know, and some people get really hot about Harry Potter. Like, they screwed up the Harry Potter movies in whatever way that they're annoyed with them by.
Yeah.
It's almost justifiable because you had one shot. Like, you got 7 books and you have 8 movies. That is all you have, unless you want to go looking for, like, some sort of fan fiction somewhere. Yeah. Like, you're not going to get anything that's canon. You know, you've got the musical, which is fine, but you don't have anything that's canon. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But with comic books, you've got, oh yeah, we'll make Spider-Man, whatever. We'll make Spider-Man this guy. How many different Spider-Mans have there been? There's Peter Parker, and there's a few more, right?
There's clones. There's like in the Ultimate Universe, they we get Miles Morales, who is African American Spider-Man, and like, and
yeah. So I mean, you've got like you can't make Harry Potter. I mean, even though they did make Harry Potter with blue eyes, you can't make Harry Potter with green without green eyes. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why people get pissed, because it's like all we have is 7 books, and you couldn't get his eye color right.
Yeah.
You couldn't get his mom's eye color to fit his eye color, or whatever. You know, like, people get really frustrated. But with comic book characters, it's like, yeah, you screwed it up. Whatever. You know, I'm excited about the Sword movie maybe coming out, or whenever that's going to come out, or whatever.
Yes.
And somehow I'm just kind of okay with if they, quote unquote, screw it up, because I'm just kind of like, well, I've got the book right here. You know, I'm totally fine with seeing, I mean, she's going to do what she did in the books relative. I mean, hopefully, right? Hopefully
they don't.
I would assume they're going to hit some very serious plot points. And if they hit those very serious plot points, according to the 4 volumes,
yeah,
or however, 24 issues or whatever, then they'll be okay. And I'm just kind of like, yeah, if you screw up this thing or twist that story plot line or whatever, I think I'll be a little bit more okay with it, because the story is so long and so big. And for some reason, I can't feel that way about Harry Potter. I don't know why it is, but, you know, it's just sometimes, like you said, like with Spider-Man and with the Avengers and stuff, they've gone on so many different places and done so many different things that if you twist something or tweak something a little bit, you're kind of just kind of like, eh, no big deal, you know? And with the Turtles movie, I'm kind of like, I'm becoming more and more like that. Like, I'm just like, whoa, we've had so many movies. We've had, like, 4 different cartoons, a live-action TV show, 3 or 4 movies. I think just 3 movies. Was there a 4th movie?
There was 3 live action, and then the 4th one, which is actually in continuity, was animated, just called TMNT.
That's right.
Where okay. Sarah Michelle Gellar was April, the voice of April.
That's right.
It was awesome. I went into that just being like, oh, it's a cartoon now, this is just some new reboot, and then watching it, being like, holy crap, they're referencing and showing things that happened in Turtles 3, you know, so... Yeah.
That's right, yeah, they show the lantern and Shredder's helmet and the TGI or TRGI or whatever that little canister.
TGRI, I believe.
TGRI, yeah. They show the canister, and yeah, and that's when I was like, oh, wow, this is, like you said, there's continuity there. So, you know, I'm becoming more and more okay with it, and it sounds silly to not be okay with it, but, you know, when you're really excited about a thing and it's important to you, you're kind of like, no, I'd really like them to get it right. I am an actual fan.
Yeah.
I'm not a casual person going, what's this action turtle thing about? Oh, here's my money. You know, like,
yeah.
I'm actually like, oh, I, you know, the date that it comes out, I'm going to be there that weekend, you know?
Yeah.
So it's hard, but you know, or maybe I'm just getting older and I'm just kind of like, eh, no big deal.
See,
you know?
And with the Turtles, like, I'm super excited for the movie just because it's the Turtles. So, yes, I'm definitely going to go see it. Let's say for some reason I dislike it, which, based on my attitudes, I'm pretty sure I'm going to like it. But let's just say if something happened that I didn't like it, I go home and I see all of the movies that I love and all the cartoons that I love and be like, all right, I'll just watch this now, you know? And
yeah, I'll just pop in the set and be like, this is the real Turtles. And just take what you want from it. Just watch the movie and be like, that was an amazing action sequence. Wow, that was terrible story writing. Wow, I could have wrote a better line than that. Wow, she is dumb. Okay. All right, let's do this now. Let's just go, cool action scene, yay, you know, and just enjoy what you can from it. And that's what I'm starting to do slowly.
Yeah. End of part 1. So that was the end of part 1 of 2. Next week I'll put up Anton episode 18, in which I continue the conversation about comic books in general with my buddy Tyler/TJ/Tyler. So thank you for listening and see you next week. Or hear me next week. I won't stop recording. I said stop. This episode of the Anton Podcast was sponsored by Anthony Letch. Born in 1983, He became an awesome man who has an extensive DVD collection and comic book collection and really likes pizza. If this all sounds good to you, you can go and be his friend and hang out with him at a low, low price by using the coupon code AnthonyLetch at a website that I www.com. Use the code. Sponsored by Anthony Letch. That sponsorship was sponsored by the new soda Mountain Squirt. When you need to quench your thirst on a mountain, squirt Mountain Squirt into your mouth face and be quenched for the journey that you have to go all the way back down to the bottom of that mountain to get the new soda Mountain Squirt. Ask your retailers tomorrow. That last advertisement is brought to you by Mountains. When you want to climb something, climb mountains today. Oh, I have a tweet.